Well, welcome to See, Hear, Love and part two of our Unknown Women of the Bible series. And this is the final week of our four-part series as we focus on the unknown woman, Chloe. Well, are you ready? We are. Let's go.
From Crossroads Media, this is See, Hear, Love with Melinda Esterbrooks,
Season 11,
Episode number 23.
Can you believe it? This is the last of our series of the Unknown Women of the Bible, part two.
So good.
Yeah.
So
we start off with Anna, and then Huldah, and then Queen Abijah. And now we're going to end with Chloe, but wow.
Yeah, it's been rich.
It has been great. And I love how you've been speaking the names of these women. We've been honoring them with their stories, the historical context. It has been rich.
Yeah, it's been
great. And convicting and inspiring and all the things. But I do have to introduce you before Anne takes it away as we end with Chloe, the unknown woman. So Anne Miranda, hi.
Hello.
Pastor, Bible teacher, leader of leaders. Welcome back.
I'm so good to be here.
Helen Burns, pastor, mentor to the next generation, and international speaker. Hi, welcome back. Jaron Witten, pastor, speaker, and mentor to leaders. Welcome back.
Good to be here.
And Karina Shea, reverend, lead pastor, mentor, and speaker.
Great to be here.
Good to have you here. Well, are you ready? We're ready for you, Anne. We are ready to end our Unknown Women of the Bible series with Chloe.
So I know when you hear the name Chloe, first of all, I didn't realize that was a name in the Bible. I remember telling Helen when we were doing this, I'm like, I don't even know that was a biblical name.
Yeah.
It feels like a very trendy cultural name because some of us can think of people who are named Chloe who are very famous in our world. But this Chloe is a woman who really loves Jesus and is willing to do anything because of that. And so we're going to see a risk taker. We're going to see someone who is big on team and unity. And so let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 11, because there is one hot verse about this girl.
All right. Let's do it.
She is the quiet influence that heals the church. That's what I have named this little lesson. And so here we go. One verse. For it has been declared to me concerning you, for it's been declared to me or reported, some of your translations would say, reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. And that's it.
That's it?
We don't even hear her voice. We don't hear anything about her. We just learn that Chloe's people. Look, what, is she a gangster? She's mafia. She's got like some people in her corner. It's like, can you just, you already know me by now that I'm like reading this scripture as a movie.
Right?
And I'm like, oh, who are her people? Like what, how have they reported? Okay, so get this.
Okay.
Chloe was a Christian woman that lived in Corinth. She's clearly respected because this is going to Paul. And Paul's writing to the people in Corinth. Her household, those are her people, reported these problems, which I'm going to get to Paul, that prompted him to write this letter. That's huge.
Yeah.
Chloe's influence on Paul prompted him to write a letter to the Corinthians, double letter, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Her people could possibly mean her household, her servants, her associates, whoever they are, it shows us that she's got influence in the early church. And she's helping Paul, informing him of what's happening in Corinth. And so her appearance in scripture is super brief. Like literally, it's not even her words, but it's about her. And we know she's powerful, even though we never hear her speak and we never hear anything like extra about her, but she's got massive influence in this area. She cares enough about the unity of the church to reach out to Paul. It's this one act that sparks possibly one of the most important letters in the New Testament for this entire region.
Wow.
Of churches. And so although we don't know her background, her status, and her family, we don't know no details. We don't know if she hosted a house, like a home church. It's very possible, though, that she did. So let's talk about these divisions. What were these divisions in Corinth that were so serious that her people needed to inform Paul? And this church in Corinth was deeply divided. So when I say the church, think of it as like the Church of Canada or the church in Vancouver, the church in Toronto and Winnipeg. There's many churches, but there's the body of Christ, which is the church. And so Chloe's people start to tell Paul, hey, this is, there's some massive divisions here. There's loyalty to different leaders. That's the first division. There's leader-based divisions. People are saying, I follow Paul, I follow Paulus, I follow Cephas or Peter, I follow, others follow Christ. Like, what is this division according to these arguments of which leader to follow? Who is more spiritual? Who is more wise? So, and all of this is really the second kind of conflict that they're going to address is this pride and status. Because Corinth is such a wealthy city and a status-driven city that that attitude, the culture crept into the church. And so people valued eloquence and philosophy and social status and rank, spiritual rank and hierarchy. And so this started to create this spiritual, like, elitism. And that's why the conflict became so huge and the divisions so massive, because they're going to follow whatever leaders. And that was the chatter amongst the people. The other issue was that there is a misunderstanding of what the gospel actually is and meant. Some believers were doing this synchronism between Greek philosophy and thinking Christianity was about this intellectual sophistication rather than the cross of Christ and a surrender. And almost like martyrdom. That was the call to suffering and not to intellectualism. Okay, this is good. Okay, the other one. Next conflict. There was a lot of immorality and dysfunction. There is sexual immorality. There's lawsuits amongst believers. There's misuse of spiritual gifts. People saying, do this in the name of God. The other person, do this in the name of God. There's chaos in worship. There's a lot of confusion about the resurrection. So Chloe's like, enough. This bad boss girl says enough. I am going to report this to Paul. We need this intervention. And she wasn't this tattletale. That's not what we're hearing here. She's acknowledging danger when the body of Christ and this body of believers compromise truth. They're confused and there's a massive disunity amongst the body. Chloe's teaching us that you don't have to be on stage to have an impact.
That's right.
But God's, like, influencing in God's kingdom often, as we have heard in the last three studies, comes through quiet faithfulness and concern for others and needs courage to tell the truth. And she has a commitment to unity. And it's significant that she was mentioned. Her appearance is meaningful. She helped preserve the unity within the church. Her people were reporting because they wanted to promote healing. You know how much we talk about church hurt in our current generation? They were talking about church hurt too. But Chloe wanted the reputation of the church to be a place of healing and love. And so she was like, I am going to talk to Paul. We're going to send him a report. Her, alongside other leaders in the New Testament, we know that they were active leaders. There are these women in the New Testament, her, Chloe, Phoebe, Priscilla, Lydia, Junia. They're, she's part of this biblical pattern that women played real roles in the formation and the growth in the early church.
That's good.
So here we go. She reports these problems, and she knew that she was probably going to have a risk amongst influential men in her society.
Surprise, surprise.
But her courage unified the church.
Beautiful.
Amazing.
And then we get this letter. So this is my question to us today. What stands out from Chloe's story? And how have you seen valuing unity? Maybe the question is, do I value unity enough to speak up, even when it's uncomfortable? Bomb.
You know what's shouting at me from this?
Go.
Talk to the right person.
You know, I mean, we live in a culture that blah, 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 blah. Let me just put that on my social media. Let me just go talk to somebody else. Let's spread more discord and more disunity, which is absolutely reprehensible to God. But she went to the right person. Mm-hmm. She used her influence and the weight of her life. Like you said, she obviously was very respected, that people knew they could take her voice and her concern to Paul. So I just think so loudly right now, and I honestly, this just is one of the things, certainly as someone who loves the church, I love the church. I know it's flawed. I know that there has so many imperfections, but so many people are very comfortable with just throwing it under the bus and just adding more fuel to the fire. It just grieves my heart so much that I can't imagine what it does to the heart of God. But if we as healthy leaders do something, but talk to the right people and get the right people together and be that risk taker, but go and enter a situation with integrity of heart and character and bring the change. I love that she was an influence that heals the church. Absolutely. I want to be that woman too.
Amazing.
Yeah, no, that resonated with me too. I wrote that down, you know, quiet influence that heals the church. And I think we are in a season where we need healing in churches. And there is a lot, there's polarization, there's, you know, that the healing of the church, but also the unity. How do you find unity with diversity? How do you bring everybody along the pathway when there's so many differences of opinion and different, you know, just differences. And I just love that in the story that she brought healing to the church. Powerful,
beautiful. I love this.
Yeah, the competitiveness of that culture is in our culture too today. And I think that is just heartbreaking because the unity of the church is so dependent on our obedience to God and the humility we're willing to bow before God. And I wrote down too this quiet healing, you know. And I love how you said you don't need platform to have power. What you do need though is to know who you are, how you're called by God, and then be obedient to it. You know, just like Chloe was.
I like Chloe had people. Chloe's people. Chloe's people. And I say that with all humility when I say it, but it does mean that great influence, faithful follower of Jesus, of course people would be attracted to her. Of course people, and all of this division and immorality and misunderstanding, it's like, oh, there's Chloe. You know, she's following the way. She has a obviously a trusted relationship with Paul. You know, he trusts her. So you realize that too, as a woman, it's like you want your people. It's like then you need to be the person. Like you need to be the one with this quiet influence, you know, integral. Faithful, strong, right? And I think that really speaks to me. I mean, we joke, but it's like, clearly it was, it's like Chloe's people. They didn't say names of the people that were connected. They said Chloe's people. They didn't even bother writing. That was Sandra. That was Priscilla. That was, you know, they didn't say that. And then who then reported to Chloe, what they wrote was, it's Chloe's people. So I think that speaks a lot about her.
I think she cared enough to want to correct the divisions that were there and the conflicts that she could see. Oh, this is going to be huge in this area. If we just let this go, this is going to cause even more issues than we already have. And so she's bringing the church back to the heart of the gospel, which is like an incredible, courageous work to do, because it wasn't that she was really assessing the people who didn't believe in Christ. She was talking to the Christians here. And sometimes that is the most difficult thing to do, is correct the people that are professing that they're believing in Jesus. So I find that the other gals that we had talked about in our other studies were courageous because they had to be courageous against the darkness or against whatever evil. And it was a different kind of courage, maybe. And this is the courage of, I'm not going to be a people pleaser. I'm going to actually love these people so much. I'm going to shepherd them well. This is the heart of the pastor. pastor.
It's very pastoral.
Oh, yeah. So much. Pastors, yeah. How does this resonate with all of you? Because you're all like, yeah, we lead churches.
Yes, yeah. And this stuff goes on.
Exactly. Yes, it does go
exactly.
on.
Exactly, and we do need our people.
Yeah. Yeah. Karina's people, Sharon's people, Helen's people, and Anne's people.
Thank God for our people.
You know, there's a big difference between being a peacekeeper and a peacemaker. Mm-hmm. You know, peacekeepers just keep the status quo. Is everybody happy? You know, but she entered into it to create a pathway to peace. Mm-hmm. And blessed are the peacemakers. Mm-hmm. And peacemaking means there's been strife. You don't need to make peace if there hasn't been an issue, but there was an issue here. And so she was truly a peacemaker in a turbulent time. And we all have those opportunities. We can be a part of answering the need. And I think often our culture, and I would say this is prevalent in so much of the churches, we don't want to say anything. We just sort of hope everybody just behaves. They're not going to behave. And we're not going to always behave. And so it's what can we do to be an instrument that will bring peace and make peace amongst these fractions? Because they're always going to be there. How can we be an avenue to bring healing and peace into that? Because we need to bring Jesus into it.
Helen, perfect segue, because I think the question now is how does Chloe inspire us to live? How does Chloe inspire us to live?
Yeah, do you know, I was thinking, when we're joking about having our people, and Chloe had people, she was also Paul's people. And she was trusted. And she was an insider, the top levels of leadership. And that was rare, I think, in ancient times, to have a woman in a position like that of authority without authority. But can you just imagine that, being a Chloe in this time period, in this culture, how courageous would she have had to have been, and how much she had to trust God to be able to move forward the way she did? And I think that challenges me to be that kind of courageous, where you know, you are discerning, you're paying attention, you're not tattletaling, like you said, but you're speaking the truth in a time when it's really difficult to speak the truth because everybody else would prefer the lies.
Wow. That's so quietly, gently. Everyone else just would prefer the lies. That's that quiet influence again, leading. Wow.
I think it just, there's an encouragement, I think, for those of us who lead and those, you know, aspiring to lead people, that you've got to choose to stand up for what is right. Like, I'm just thinking about this from the standpoint of what you mentioned before, like a movie scene. Like, we have, there's like a full-on street brawl here. They're fighting, they're quarreling, her people, your people, all the people, right? And I was just thinking about the leadership that she carried to summon a group of people around what is right. And I just, I'm really encouraged in that, you know, that it does matter how we lead. You know, it does matter how we carry ourselves. What happens behind the scenes does affect the forefront, you know, and it's just such a powerful story. Very short language here in the Bible around her life, but such a powerful story.
And the reality is, within the church, we're not all going to agree on everything. If we read it from cover to cover, the Bible, like how we interpret it, there is the truth, and the truth sets us free. But I think it's so much more important that we're walking in the same direction, in alignment with truth, rather than agreeing on every detail. I love my husband with my whole life. I disagree with so many things that he thinks are right. And I'm like, I know I'm right. But it honestly doesn't matter. We are. And I'm just, you know, but it, I just feel like it's not worth it to break up the preciousness of what we have to, again, be a maker of peace, to walk in alignment, moving forward in what we do and we can agree on, rather than pulling everything apart. This is prevalent in the church today. I think it will be till Jesus comes. And so how can we be avenues to bring unity rather than disunity?
That's good.
That's good.
Anne, your thoughts?
I'm just seeing that there is, again, with one person's obedience, there is a ripple effect that happens. One person, she says yes, she reports something, there's change that happens. She's a catalyst. And so I would love for us to look at this. I mean, I'm applying it to my own life and going, how can I be a catalyst in the spaces and places that God has positioned me, whether that is in my household, in my home, with my friends, in my church setting, in my community, what is it, God, that you're asking of me? And not to be afraid that at times I'm going to have the courage to call things out.
Good.
In order to honor God. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And make it canceled. Powerful.
And Megan canceled. That's our culture. Yeah. That's definitely our moment in time. Mm-hmm. But we can't shy away from saying the hard things and honoring God, because there is change that happened. This whole region was impacted because of this one person's obedience. Mm-hmm. Super powerful.
Yeah, amazing.
I think the best way to kind of like close this part, we still have some questions after, is Helen, just to do a prayer.
Okay.
The one in the Bible study for Chloe. I think this will just sort of like set us as we close up.
All right, let's pray. Gracious God, grant us the wisdom and diligence you gave Chloe. Help us care for your people and to bring truth and clarity with love. When challenges or conflicts arise, strengthen us to act with discernment and to speak courageously for your glory. Teach us to live and serve faithfully, encouraging others in unity and peace. Guide our hearts in faithful stewardship. Keep our words full of grace, and let our lives strengthen the body of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let our lives strengthen the body of Christ. Amen. Well, as we finish up this series, a takeaway from each one of us. We've Anna, Huldah, Abijah, and now Chloe. What's a takeaway from all or one of these unknown women of the Bible that you are going to take away from this series? We'll start with you, Karina.
Sure. Well, there's this theme across all of our studies of the faithfulness of one person to affect the faithfulness of generations.
Yeah.
And I would love to hone it in on one of our women, but I can't. I can't do it. I can't pick. Fair. But I will say this, that I really feel encouraged and I feel challenged by this theme that you don't have to have a position to have influence and power. I think we all know that, but these women proved it.
Yeah.
They were unknown, but they were known to God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unknown, but known to God. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think for me, just this whole reality of being a voice, speaking truth to power, mm-hmm. to culture, and the reality that God places women in strategic moments to catalyze something.
Yeah.
Through them declaring, decreeing, and speaking truth.
Yes.
I think we saw it with Anna. We saw it, you know, as a faithful witness, you know, the witness, first original witness, I think one was saying. You see it with Huldah, Abby, we see it as well. and then we see it here, and I think it's just such a profound reality that it really rocks my life, that just this whole idea that God could use my life to catalyze something that would have legacy when I'm dead and gone.
I love that so much. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would resonate with all of that, that one life can make such a big difference. Mm-hmm. And I would pray that I think of how each one of these lives have stirred my heart, but even all the women and others joining in and studying these lives, that they would focus on, here I am, Lord, send me. What do you need? That we would be, you know, like an Anna. For that very moment, don't miss the moments. God is calling you, calling a Chloe, calling each and every one of us for such a time as this. And I want to be ready for whatever he needs me to do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's good. And he's making notes.
Yeah, so many notes, because I think God's also downloading another study for just around spiritual gifts. I just keep thinking about each one of these women and how they knew how to show up in these moments that, again, God places them in the strategic moments and places and time. And each one used the gifting that she was wired with, whether that was prophecy or faith or her discernment or her intercession and prayer. They believed for like the miraculous to happen and then declared it. And that just really impacted, of course, their present moment and their personal lives and their personal faith, but also the impact on the generations until today. Mm-hmm. And so then now I'm reading this going like, oh, so God's story continues. And that's kind of the little go a little deeper in our study. And now it's you and I. Mm-hmm. It's us in his story, women, ordinary women, to complete extraordinary purposes of God and his kingdom work right now in our generation, in our nation, where God has strategically placed each one of us. Mm-hmm. it's just blowing my mind. Yeah. I'm like, whoa, what are you doing here, Lord?
Yeah.
This is so cool.
I think for me over and over, it's like, don't miss the moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There were every part of the impact of these women had a moment to decide to report, to share, you know, the teachings of Jesus to their son, to speak prophetically, you know, Anna to declare. Like there's every moment, and I think of me, you know, in my life, it's like, am I taking every moment? Yes. Am I seeing every moment? Am I in tune to God's spirit speaking to me and whispering, say, this is the moment, big or small? And so I think that really, in every single one of these stories, like don't miss the moment to be the catalyst. Mm-hmm. And we, again, may not see the ripple effects in our lifetime. Mm-hmm. It may be something you did and you will never know until we're all together with Jesus that we know. And so I think that really, really encourages me. But I want to say this, you know, because there's just something in me, because I'd love your just quick thoughts. Next generation. You know, we're looking at these women. We're at an age and stage of our lives. We're in it. We're leading. But when we look at next generation of young women, what would your encouragement to be as we look at these women, as we the unknown women, we're speaking out their names? Just a quick thought of encouragement to a young woman.
Do not give up on the promises of God.
Yeah.
And hold on and don't give up. Just be faithful. Just be obedient to what God calls you to do, because you don't know what your obedience, your everyday, ordinary, tiny, tiny obedience, you don't know what it will turn into.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Really good.
Yeah, I would say lean in. Push all of who you are into the moments that God gives you opportunity. Release your faith and watch what God does.
I would tell a young woman, we are living in probably the most exciting days historically that have ever been. I have such faith for this generation that's coming up. I think it's going to be glory days, and it is going to be these young men and women ushering it into the days ahead. And I want to be there pushing them forward, encouraging them. I have so much expect God to use you right now where you are.
My encouragement is that each one has meaning. And she's woven into this gospel story, and each one has eternal impact.
Amen.
So, so incredible to know that we are part of God's big story.
And so we honor Anna.
Yeah.
And we speak her name and we say, Anna.
And we're
thankful for her life and her story. And we say, Huldah. And we honor Huldah and we thank her for her life and her courage. And we speak Abijah, Queen Abijah, we honor her and her story. And we speak Chloe. And we say, thank you for your people and for your for your life. And so thank you to you. I want to honor you, Anne, and Helen, and Sharon, and Karina. Speak your names and honor you and thank you for your leadership and your teaching and your pastoring across Canada and in your congregations and in the women that you meet every day. So thank you. And let's celebrate. We did it. We did the study.
We honor you.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much. And what a beautiful time it was together. We also want to thank again the Canadian Bible Society for their sponsorship of this series. We so appreciate you. And to you, our listener and viewers, join our community. You can watch all of our episodes and download our Bible studies now in Spanish and French for our part one and two of The Unknown Women. Thank you, Anne, for doing that. You can attend our event, subscribe to our newsletter, all at seehearlove.com. And if you need prayer, 24/7 prayer, if some of these women really spoke to you, said, I need courage, I want to be a catalyst, you can reach out to us at 1-866-273-4444. There'll be somebody there to pray for you 24/7. And as we have spoken their names, remembered and seen and heard the stories of Anna and Huldah and Abijah and Chloe, know that you are also so seen, heard, and deeply loved by God. Well, we hope you enjoyed our series, The Unknown Women of the Bible, Part 2. Thank you so much for joining us. We love you. We honor you. We're so grateful for you. Thank you so much for joining us. And stay tuned for more Bible studies ahead here on See, Hear, Love. Bye-bye.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for joining See Hear Love with Melinda Esterbrooks. This podcast is a Crossroads Media production. Until next time, always remember, you are seen, you are heard, and you are loved by God.